all jumping on board with us today. We're kind of digging into a lot of the information that's coming in. We'll be taking your calls, too, in this portion of the program in about 4 minutes. 5 minutes, actually. So the number 877-789-2539 is the number to call in. 877-789-2539. We want to keep it relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. So for those of you on the lines, let's keep it to the news topics we've discussed. I'll jump on that in a little bit. Also, I want to get into this topic a little bit because this is important to me as a carnivore. It's kind of unfortunate, but Senate Democrats are the ones who are leading the way in regards to trying to bring down the beef prices. Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer and 12 other senators introduced the Family Grocery and Farmer Relief Act, aiming to break up the dominant meatpacking companies. And there's four key players in all of this. We've interviewed farmers, obviously, on this program, cattle ranchers specifically, and they've all told us that in order to get to all of this, you got to go after the big dogs. And so far, the DOJ, the Antitrust Division, which apparently purged out one of the most important people, I believe, Gail Slater recently, is the agency that is supposed to be looking into all of this. And we talked about the Brazilian company that has been dominating the industry. By the way, Trump tossed out a lot of the tariffs that would have actually helped farmers out against the Brazilian companies that are importing their products for cheaper prices. But I mean, that's just one of the many issues we have here. The bill would prohibit major meat packers from controlling more than one type of meat that includes beef, pork, and poultry. It also would somehow, I don't know the specific details behind this one, but impose, I guess, some type of caps on the beef markets at a regional and national level. Again, I don't know specifically how they look to do that. I don't really like the government controlling these things, so I'm guessing they're going to have to some way figure out how can the government step in on this. I just think you have to just completely toss out foreign entities from being able to come in and push their products in our market. Because remember, folks, American farmers have a much stricter level of, I guess, a stricter level of standards. And so when it comes to these things, it's like you're bringing in other countries who don't have to abide by those standards, and you're allowing them to. By the way, if they butcher their meat here in the United States, but it's been imported from places like Brazil, they do sometimes slap on that made in America or American product stamp onto your packet. So it's really hard to even track it. Again, I know a lot of our audience like buy local, but it's really difficult for most Americans to purchase local. And a lot of these ranchers too, by the way, I love going to my farmer's market, but man, oh man, do they stiff you with the bill. I mean, I could get a significantly cheaper, and I get it, right? Because you're going to say, oh, well, Brianna, of course, they're importing it from other countries. But life has become too expensive. So I'm not going to beat up on people who might turn to the supermarket butcher to purchase their products. Again, keep in mind, there's about four firms that control over 85% of the beef industry, 67% of the pork industry, and 60% of poultry. And when you talk to these local ranchers, they tell you that's the key problem in all of this. But again, how do you break all of this down? Well, I really don't know. I really don't know. So we'll keep our eye on it. Also, by the way, it looks like the Live Nation has reached a settlement agreement in regards to their antitrust division fight they had ongoing. Now, this is the interesting part in all of this, because obviously Gail Slater was pushed out of the agency. I'm trying to find the exact agreement details. Let me find it on my phone. Okay, so even though this agreement has been settled upon, Live Nation will still control 86% of ticketing. So they'll just be able to charge you whatever they want. I mean, it's not really what the antitrust division was ultimately out to do. But again, Gail Slater was pushed out for all of this. So keep that in the back of your mind. All right, folks, checking your calls in just a moment. If you're on hold, stay put. We'll be diving into those calls in a second. Meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have the March Mega Sale going on right now. 30 to 40% off some of your favorite supplements over at the shop. Thealexjonesstore.com right now is where you should be heading.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big Panopticon AI. surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexHomeStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. We're going to be, you know, diving some calls in a second. So if you're on hold, stay put. We're going to be diving into those that are relevant to the discussions we've talked about. So make sure we get through everyone. That's a key point in all of this. All right. Tim in California is first up on the list. Tim, welcome back.
Morning, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call.
Always a pleasure.
And I don't disagree with anything you've said, so I'm not trying to be combative or fight with you in any way. But I just want to give you a kind of like another angle here that I want to just to take a peek at here. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to October 22nd of 1962. And this is when President JFK had to address the nation. And it goes on too lengthy for us to cover in radio, but just a couple of sentences here. Here towards the end of his speech, he says, "My fellow citizens, let no one doubt that this is a difficult and dangerous effort on which we have set out. No one can see precisely what course it will take or what costs or casualties will be incurred. Many months of sacrifice and self-discipline lie ahead, months in which our patience and our will be tested, months in which many threats and denunciations will keep us aware of our dangers. But the greatest danger of all would be to do nothing." And I'm afraid, you know, even Neil Peart from Rush, he said, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. This reminds me of 5 years ago, and I'm not a pleader for Beirut, Lebanon. They're no friends of mine, but these guys, I mean, this is a capital city. It's a port city. And 6 years previous to that, they captured a ship, I think it was a Russian ship, and it had like 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate. And they didn't have $100,000 to pay the fees. You can't even make this up. They didn't have $100,000 to pay the fees. So they took and seized the ship. They took the load and put it in a warehouse. And that thing sat there year after year after year after year with, I guess everyone just thought the government would take care of it or somehow it'd just be okay. But 6 years later, one day there was a fire in the warehouse next to it and kaboom. I mean, this thing went off in such a way it made like a 4-point-something earthquake. It was felt 150 miles away. It completely destroyed the port city. You know, just the point is, this kind of stuff could happen anywhere in the world, including here in America. But just waiting, waiting, waiting. We already waited 47 years. These guys are never going to be nice. They've never been on their heels this much. And yeah, we might have kicked a hornet's nest. We might wish we'd never done this. But I'd rather have guys be in the warehouse, moving that stuff out of the warehouse, than to just wait year after year after year, waiting for something bad to happen. I'm sorry, that's just a rant. You know, I go on these rants sometimes. I apologize, Brianna.
No.
But I want to hear your, you know.
No, we appreciate the rants. Listen, I mean, I've never heard that quote before, so it was quite fascinating to listen to, Tim. And yeah, no, I think it's something, I thought it was interesting. So we appreciate you, Tim, in California. Thank you for calling. We are grateful for that. All right, let's work our way down the line. Savage Dog in Georgia is also on deck. Savage Dog, welcome back.
Hey, Brian, I hope you had a great weekend. I'm going to have to go ahead, suck it up, get on X and look at your cookie show, see if you did Chick Farm right.
I know, I know. I was a little burnt, but I kind of like a little crisp.
Burn and crisp is two different things.
All right, I got a little distracted and walked away for a couple of minutes.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, I got you. I hear you. Tim in California, man, you are spot freaking on.
Yeah.
Sacrifices must be made to make evil pay. That's actually not a great way to put it, but that's just the first thing that came to my mind. But yeah, Tim, California, right on, brother. You are spot on. And I'll get to that. I got four things. Three of them are the little side veggies, and then I'm going to get to my roast beef. Mr. Chucky, I've got two birth certificates. I don't know what the big deal is about getting them. Lost one, got another one, found it, the first one. Christy Nome gone, about freaking time. And Mark Wayne Mullen, who challenged to stomp somebody's ass right there on the Senate floor. That's the kind of energy we need in Homeland Security. And the last thing is, what podcast was Alex Jones on talking about? Whatever hell his name was.
I'm going to get you the name in a second. I'm asking. You know, Dan's one of the best. He's frantically looking for you right now, Savage Dog. We'll get you an answer in a second, though. He's looking away. He'll find it for you. We'll get back to you.
This is my deal. I listen to many, many, many different sources. So far as I could tell, Alex Jones is the only one that has just been throwing black pills right at my face for the last 2 weeks. I listen to the Salty Cracker, Salty Army, raw. Tim Pool, who has many different guests with many different opinions.
Yeah.
And Stephen Crowder, right? Those are my big three. And Benny Johnson. And I cannot find anyone anywhere else who has the same level of, oh my God, it's World War III, we're all going to die. You know, they're all, so far as I personally can see, because I get information from everywhere and kind of coalesce it. Mm-hmm. It looks good. This whole Iran thing looks good. There's not much downside. Yeah, we've lost some service members. But look at the order of operation. We took down Venezuela. China don't get that oil. We're taking down Iran. China don't get that oil. We're neutering China, which was our biggest threat. Well, arguably Islam. But, you know, you can't really neuter that one. I just don't see a downside, but Alex Jones is nothing but downside. I haven't heard him say one good thing about it. Now, I want to also be clear, it's kind of a side issue, but it ties in. I'm not a trumpet or whatever the hell the left calls sycophants. I'm not in the Trump cult. I've been paying attention to him. I listen to watch other YouTube channels, you know, who, one of them, that looks at Trump specifically, and like Alex, I was watching before this show, Sunday's broadcast, where Alex was talking about, you know, the Antichrist and everything. There's a lot of sketchy stuff about Trump, especially the fact that his penthouse apartment in Trump Tower, New York, is full of Apollo imagery. Apollo is Apollyon in Revelation, the destroyer. And that skews me out, you know. Okay, well, we got the butler thing. Was that the hand of God, or was that maybe they used one of those time-space weapons to guide that bullet into his ear? That's deep, deep, deep dive. Don't look too far into that. That's just like only if you smoked enough weed. But you know what I mean. I'm not like a rah-rah for Trump, but I'd love to hear some good news, and maybe I'm just trying to take some white pills against this, but from everywhere else I see, it all looks good. this doesn't look bad. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to express my confusion, I guess, because I've got Alex on one hand, whom I've trusted for a long time, and then I've got a lot of other people who make a lot of sense. And I'm just trying to balance the equation here is all I'm saying. And if any callers can, you know, help out after and maybe tell me something I don't know, which that'll be hard to do because I'm on a military disability. I don't do nothing but sit here and listen to Brianna. Then, this is all I do.
Yeah.
If I was prettier, I might have my own podcast, but,
it's a tough world. It's a tough world. Well, I mean, listen, you could always get a show like The View. I mean, they always, you know, they always manage over there, but no, Savage Dog. And Duncan Trussley, I think is what he's just said in my ear. Dan, there you go. Trussell. Maybe that's how you say it. We got it up on the screen right now. That is the show that Alex was on. By the way, Savage Dog. Yeah, I mean, I think Alex has been actually kind of fair. See, this is the thing. Some people are really mad at Alex because he didn't jump off the cliff with everyone else when they were upset and they were fired up with certain issues. I know when it comes to the Iran coverage, too, a lot of people didn't like his take on it. I think he's been fair. There's nothing I don't disagree with anything that he's done this far and he's kind of stated it this far. You know, I was on Tim Pool's show. This was months ago, and Tim was making comments about the left, and I didn't want to be a total black pill. So I was like, they're not all bad, Tim. And Tim's like, yeah, they all are. And I ended up messaging him like months later, like, okay, you were kind of right. They're all a bunch of commies. But when it comes to like the Venezuela take too, I don't know what the goal of Venezuela truly is besides obviously trying to get, you know, the Chinese out of our sphere. But Dulce, I guess would be the pronunciation of Rodriguez, the woman who's now running and operating Venezuela. The reason why I'm not a fan of any of this is because this is a woman who was previously on the DEA watch list. They had her eye on her because they also believe that she was connected to a lot of the drugs that were being pushed into the United States as well. So now she's taken over and the president's working with her and allowing her to keep her power. But again, if Venezuela steals their own elections, then this woman shouldn't be looked at as a legitimate leader. So that's where my disgruntledness comes from all of that. Savage Dog, though, we'll start working our way down the lines and see if anyone wants to dispute you or maybe answer back to you as we work our way down the list. So thank you. We appreciate your calling. And of course, Sean in California is next on the list. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Am I coming in loud and clear for you?
I can hear you, Sean. Welcome back.
Excellent. Hey, something for Savage Dog. If he wants a good podcast and it's just starting out and it's got younger minds with fresher takes, look at the Gray Area Talks on YouTube. That's Rex Jones and his pal Tim. And they had Harrison Smith on last night. It was a very good episode. I'm an hour plus into it, and I'm going to resume it when I get off work when I'm done listening to my InfoWars coverage. And it shows you where the younger mindset are. They're not necessarily black-pilled, but they realize we're being propagandized. And sometimes in this information war, we need more than propaganda. We need hard facts. And what you and the gentleman earlier talked about with the Secret Service detail that I want to get into. Mm-hmm. So we know the name of the guy in charge of passing what we would call in the security world to be on the lookout or a pass down order or a threat assessment, whatever term you want to use. Somebody held up information that could have saved the life of the firefighter that day. So let's not worry about the woo-woo with, you know, bullets barely missing Trump. Let's look at the facts we can put into a courtroom. Someone failed either through criminal negligence or nonfeasance. And by the way, I'm not giving legal advice. I'm just setting up a nexus for you guys out there. That party that lost their husband, their father, that brave fireman who covered his daughters up, he was slain because somebody is accountable for a bad decision. And that person needs to be held to account. That family is a party to that. The people who are witnesses and almost victims to that shooting in Butler were parties to that fact. So, Brianna, if your guest is accurate with that information, that flow of information, and he neglected to pass it on, that guy needs to be taken to the cleaners and thrown under the bus or thrown under jail. Because here's a secret, folks. The Secret Service does not work for the president. They work for the Treasury. They are not the president's friend. That's one thing this POTUS makes a mistake of, is thinking of the Pentagon, that the rhinos, that all these people are his friends in D.C. He's a lone man getting bad information from a bad circle of people who are not his friends. We, the people, have to get the information to him, whether it's through Roger Stone or you guys at InfoWars, or whether it's through us putting an actual document into his hands. It has to be done. break that bubble, get him good information, he'll course correct. What do you got to say, Brianna?
Yeah, I mean, Sean, no surprise there. Yeah, I know Ken Silva does great work, and so I haven't seen anything that Ken's ever reported that has been wrong. So he's very heavily backed up with government documents before he says anything. So there's that for you. But Sean, no, I think you're right. It's pretty frustrating in regards to the lack of transparency in all of this. Again, they were so pushy about this and saying that they were, in fact, reporting and being as transparent as possible when it came to Thomas Crooks and the information that was put out there. So they were all full of it, Sean. No surprise there. Folks, I want to pivot for a hot second right now. And Sean, thank you for calling to the show. I appreciate it when you do, of course, to a soundbite that we have. Jesse Jackson Jr., that's the son of Jesse Jackson. He was actually pretty fired up and angry because during the memorial service for Jesse Jackson, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and Joe Biden spoke, but they took the opportunity to take a little political gain in all of this. And it's something that actually Jesse's family was not very happy with. Let's listen in.
I listened for several hours of three United States presidents who do not know Jesse Jackson. He maintained a tense relationship with the political order, not because the presidents were white or black, but the demands of our message, yes, Jesse, the demands of speaking for the least of these, those who were disinherited, the damned, the dispossessed, the disrespected, yes, demanded not Democratic or Republican solutions, but demanded a consistent, prophetic voice that at no point in time ever sold us out as a people.
Yeah. So I think that's really important for him to highlight the fact that these three presidents decided to take the opportunity to throw little daggers out there. It's not appropriate, of course, but it's what you could expect from these scumbags. All right, let's jump back into some calls. Katie in Ohio, welcome back.
Hi. Anna Morello, it's an honor to speak with you. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Katie, thank you for calling.
You are a treasure to InfoWars, and are all the supplements. When you went to calls, I was literally scooping my Optimal Human into my mixer. I just took all my supplements. They really are amazing. Everybody needs to support this broadcast.
Katie, thank you. Because you
can't find information right now. All of the people that I follow on X are all shadow banned. I have to look up everyone individually. I don't know if other people are having this problem, but I'm really having trouble just like seeing the people that I follow. One of the things I was going to mention to the previous caller about what's going on specifically with Iran, Matt Tardio does some really good breakdowns, and you guys had him on as a guest host at one point, and Brandon Reichart. I don't know if I'm saying that, Weichert. He's really good with what's going on with Iran specifically in the Middle East.
Yeah.
My main point today is this battle of good versus evil that we're facing in our country, and that Trump is very much bubble wrapped. And this is kind of like a, what should we do? We got to get information to Trump, like the previous caller said. If you look at just what we know with things like MKUltra, Savannah syndrome, frequency control through the towers, this all sounds so nuts, but we know these things with Savannah syndrome and what they can do to someone through mind control. Internet throttling, like I said, with what you see on your phone. And then this comes to what happened to Tucker Carlson. Jones has talked about it a few times when Tucker had like an attack, a demonic attack. And we know there are people like Maria Abramovich and the things that they're doing, this battle of good versus evil. There is something like taking over Trump's awareness with all of his handlers. Also, we know Wiles, Lebnick, Kushner, Ratcliffe, all these people around him that are not his friends, and the intelligence agencies, they could totally cater his internet experience. They could totally cater everything that's going on around him to keep him totally bubble wrapped. We know, as a great example, he did not know why the public did not approve of Project Warp Speed until like way late in the game. Mm-hmm. That country music star was the one that had to tell him. Do you remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want to, like, what can we do? I feel like Jones needs to take Flynn and Stone and like go to Trump and really tell him. I know Jones doesn't want to. I heard his call the other day. I think it was Saturday's call, where he wants to stay away from it. But I think if he has any ability to get some of the message of what's really going on to Trump, he might be the only way to really tell Trump what's going on, or give him some way to let him know that the people are not supporting what he's doing. Nobody likes this in any way.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he has to secure the hemispheres and this, that, and the other, but our country needs him. We need to be America first. And I would love to see Jones run for president with Tucker or Thomas Massie. And speaking for Ohio, everybody needs to vote for Casey Putsch May 5th. Ohio needs Casey Putsch. So look into that. But Trump is not a Christian fully, and so I think he's a lot more vulnerable to these evil attacks that's going on. We know he's kind of sold himself out to all of the people who are boasting his ego. I think it's through his ego and his pride. They just stroke that, and then like some kind of mind control. Like, who knows? There was theories that Biden was a robot. I mean, look what they did to the past presidents. Like, who knows, like, how much mind control they can do on somebody. Like, we know enough to know that he could be completely controlled.
Yeah. Well, to piggyback to Katie, you know, I was alluding to it earlier in the show to watch out for the polls. You know, there's a couple of pollsters that I trust authentically because I think that they are great. But from my sources internally, there's going to be a lot of pollsters that are going to be tilting their polls to be more favorable towards Trump, to be more desirable because they're getting access to the president. And so they want these polls put in front of the president. So, yeah, we're it's going to get worse from what you're saying. And, you know, I don't think they'd ever let Katie, I don't think they'd ever let Alex into a room with President Trump. I don't think they'd ever let Roger Stone in a room with President Trump. Well, I guess they might have, actually. Let me hold back on that. But I would say General Flynn is somebody else who's probably being stonewalled out too, just because they don't want the truth getting to the president. So that's where I think. Now, again, those are just my guesses. I don't have any fact base behind any of that. But I would say that they probably, since they're so historically known for stonewalling a lot of people who would be honest with the president, I don't think they'd let any of those people anywhere near him right now. I think they're creating this kind of echo chamber of those who are allowed to be around him, who will back what they want. And so I don't know. We try to crack into it all the time, obviously, by posting on X and other platforms and hope it gets to the president. But he's pretty sheltered. He's pretty sheltered. Folks, if you called in, thank you for calling on the lines. We appreciate you doing that. We're all out of time, though, for right now. We'll be taking calls later this week, though, so I hope you guys all call back. In the meantime, though, Alex Rosen joining me on set in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
You're about to embark on a great adventure. President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission.
Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort. All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war. You can save millions of lives.
You are my crew. And our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit.
Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle stations, brace for impact.
Of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Waking up America one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
American Journal. It's the guest you've all been waiting for at home. Joining me now, Alex Rosen's here from Predator Poachers. And we've got a lot of predators that have been poached thanks to his great work, as many of you guys know. He goes out there and he confronts a lot of these sick bastards and you hold them accountable. So it's always an honor to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Honor and honor. All right. I want to get to the first guest. Well, I guess the first soundbite, I should say. You're going out there, and we've had you on a lot, but you go out there and you catch the worst of the worst who are trying to go out there and rape children. And you found just that. This is an alleged pedo who apparently was caught because he was trading child porn in Clip 15. Now, he's an active duty service member who serves right now in our Navy. Let's take a listen.
You're not under arrest. You're detained this time.
All right, what's up, guys? This is Peyton Leckholz. He was an online friend of somebody we put away in Connecticut for having images he shouldn't have. He was on federal bond. He was sending stuff to him. And this guy's active duty military.
413-71.
Active duty military came to me.
Hey, is this your phone? That's your phone?
Came to me. A boy shaking.
Hey, I'll just see that right there.
Okay, okay. Was he going to spread this all over him? And, just very, very gross.
The charger?
Yeah, this guy lives on the military base in Norfolk. Was supposed to meet one boy shouldn't have, and even a smaller boy shouldn't have, has got many, many picks sent to him that he should not have gotten, even got on some video calls with actual, you know.
You're not going to do nothing else on you?
With actual males that, and, right. done, and pay, paid them for stuff. So this guy needs to go federal, I think. He needs to go federal. Full video on locals. DM me for link.
All right, folks, this is Peyton Leckelt is the subject behind all of this. And of course, these are allegations he's currently facing. So, Alex, I kind of want you to detail this for us because the cake thing's weird, but it's not the first time they've done this to you.
No. I really wanted to preserve that evidence in my stomach, but I guess the cops took the evidence of him wanting to rub cake all over a 13-year-old boy. But the thing with Peyton, it starts a little bit before we actually catch him. So we caught a guy in Connecticut February 15th named Sean Sayer, a resident of Naugatuck, now resident in some federal corrections facility. But Sean was out on federal bond, so the feds charged him with tons of crimes against children. He was facing life plus 360 years, and he was sitting with a 15-year plea deal that was on the table that he was probably about to take. But while he was out on bond, he was messaging our underage decoy account and possessing and trading child pornography. So one of his bond conditions was that he is not allowed to access the internet at all. So on top of him just like accessing the internet in the first place, which we confirmed, I did a video call with him. Like, I got him on camera. I was pretending to be a little kid and I saw him on camera. And then we went to his home, and he admits to possessing child pornography and to trading it around. And 2 days later, the FBI takes him back into custody, and I'm sure that plea deal is off the table now. But while interviewing him, he gave up an account name that was trading child pornography with him, and he said it was a 16-year-old named Peyton. Now, we did some digging into Peyton. We found out he's actually 21 and in the Navy, and he hit up our same account that we caught Sean on, and then it, literally 2 weeks later, Peyton meets up at a food line in Virginia Beach, and he admits to trading child pornography and paying 13-year-old boys to masturbate on video call for him, like actual 13-year-old kids. He would solicit them online, pay them money, do all this stuff, and right now he's facing two felony charges, and I think he'll face more when his phone's officially dumped.
Yeah, that's like horrifying, given the fact that he's also a member of our military, too. And, you know, you cited that with the first catch that you had, that you were actually the decoy in that one. I mean, how does Alex Rosen pretend to be an underage child?
Well, you know, I'm already wearing like a freaking Walmart shirt and, you know, all that. So I play it pretty well, I think. But on the video call, I did not show my face. I was just like, hey, can I see your glasses? I take them off. And I'm the whole time I'm like filming with my phone, just him on the internet. So the cops had total proof he was on the internet, and he got taken back in for that and other reasons.
It's so sick, Alex, but it's expected. I don't understand why a prosecutor even cut a deal with someone like this, especially when they have hard evidence.
Well, you know, the feds are known for just throwing a bunch. I mean, facing life plus 360 years is they could do whatever they want with him.
Yeah.
But a 15-year plea deal is so ridiculous to throw at him. And, you know, if I was Sean, I'd be so lucky and so grateful to have that offer to me, especially facing literally the end of my days in prison. But, you know, it's not happening anymore because you can't violate your bond and still have that plea deal.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And folks at home right now, if you don't do so already, I'd highly recommend you give Alex a follow right now on X. I Fight for Kids. That's where you guys could go to right now. Also support his work as well. Again, this is someone who does this based on donations. So when you donate to his efforts, when you subscribe to his platforms, you guys are helping keep up this mission. You can find him also at predatorpoachers.com as well. Let's keep diving into this. Juan Rios is another individual, Clip 16, who you recently had contact with. And it looks like now he's been sentenced to 40 years in prison. Let's do a little throwback here and play that clip 16.
So, yeah, just hide your face. It's fine. So what happened when Brianna was 12 and you were 23?
She came over to me and initiated contact.
What did she do to you?
She started writing me.
Uh-huh, then what?
And she got off and then started giving me a...
Okay. How long did it take you to finish?
I didn't.
How long was she doing it for?
Not long, probably like 2-3 minutes.
Okay. And she's over in Laredo?
Yes.
And that's where it happened? Okay.
All right, obviously, he's not very happy, But he's openly talking to you on camera about what he did. Now he's been sentenced to officially 40 years in prison.
Yeah, so that's one of our longer sentences that we've had. Kaufman County, Texas is an awesome place to catch pedos. They do not take this lightly at all. So the DA there, I forgot her name, but she does a very good job, and she serves Texas very well. So if she ever sees this clip, God bless you, ma'am. So we have six cats in Kaufman County. Juan was one of them. He met who he thought was a mom and a daughter for sex. And while he was in the Sting House, he admitted to possessing tons of child pornography and to, of course, molesting his cousins. And he was already a sex offender, but he was not a sex offender for molesting his cousins. He was a sex offender for child pornography. So he got charged with online solicitation of a minor, which is going after our fake accounts, and then possessing child pornography. Unfortunately, since that molestation happened in Laredo, Webb County, which is where Laredo is, never followed up on it or did anything about it. But that being said, Kaufman County threw the absolute book at him, gave him 40 years, and he was just charged on the child porn in our chat. So, yeah, he's going to face a very – I mean, he is going to be in prison for a long time, and I hope he dies in there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too, right? Because sadly, there's a lot of prosecutors, and this is the thing I can't understand. We have a lot of lawmakers who go out there and say, oh, we need more legislation. We need more legislation. But the reality of it is if you don't have a prosecutor that's willing to prosecute these crimes – legislation doesn't mean a damn thing. And you're dealing with that all the time.
Right. And it's like, I mean, of course, the laws can always be harsher. They can always be stricter. But the laws on the books in Texas are pretty good for this stuff. Yeah. I mean, just for going after our fake 11-year-old, they can get up to 20 years in prison for it. And from what I think there's only one jurisdiction in Texas, Upshur County, which actually gave the full 20 years for it. And other jurisdictions cut these plea deals with them. Not all the plea deals are terrible, but see, sometimes they get probation for a 20-year sentence crime. And then for child pornography, what he did was a felony one because he had a prior conviction for it. He could have gotten up to 99 years for it. And, you know, 40 years, and you know, it's a good plea deal. I mean, it's still a good amount of time. But he could have gotten 99 years if they really wanted to try to give it to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, these type of people, we can't rehabilitate them. We can't throw them back on the streets. That's the part that really frustrates me all the time. You know, I've covered the story about how Joe Biden would import sex offenders in other countries and brought them in under these last 4 years when he was occupying the White House. And it just goes to show how there's a lot of people out there who seem to think that these people could be saved. I don't. I think they're monsters and they need to be put down. I wouldn't even call them animals. Animals I like.
Right, right. Yeah, there is no rehabilitation for them. I mean, this past trip alone, we've caught a couple sex offenders, one of them named Charles Landa in Two Rivers, Wisconsin. And he was on paper for continuous sexual abuse of a child, which ended up being his step-granddaughter. Mm. And guess what? He's still married to the grandma of that granddaughter. And on top of that, the grandma has cancer right now, and he's supposed to be taking care of her. And instead, he got arrested for messaging our decoy account. So, he abuses his granddaughter and then cheats on her when she has cancer with who he thinks is an underage kid. I mean, she's a scumbag too for staying with him, but they never change. And he knew who I was too and still went to jail.
Isn't that something? I want to get your takeaway on a lot of the elections that were had just the other day. You know, obviously last week we did have primaries here in Texas, and you and I were on team Aaron Wright's for AG, and unfortunately didn't work out well for us. Now Chip Roy and there's another candidate who have now been elevated to the runoff race. Sadly, though, Aaron, who's someone who's very pro going after these pedos and targeting them, who I actually connected you to him to go on one of your catches, is a great person. So where do we go from here in the state of Texas?
Well, Aaron Wrights was the only AG candidate to actually help pedos get arrested. Mm-hmm. I hope Chip Roy and Mays Middleton, whoever wins, I hope they do a good job, but I'm not too enthusiastic about either of them. Like, Aaron Wrights was the first candidate in forever that I was actually enthusiastic about. But yeah, I mean, I hope these just prosecutors keep their foot on the gas. And this Senate election coming up between Cornyn and Paxton, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to vote if Cornyn wins.
That's my thing. So that's the big one here, right? Because we could talk about this because I did a whole reel of the clips of John Cornyn, who's been an absolute awful human being, clearly working for the deep state. And that's not an over-exaggeration. I mean, any topic that's been slightly controversial, he's been on the opposition for any of the MAGA or even just President Trump, just going after President Trump on things that should be easy wins, like James Comey being a scumbag. He seems to side with James Comey and tell James Comey during open testimony that he likes him. He's also defended FISA and said during Pam Bondi's congressional hearing, her confirmation hearing, oh, well, FISA's never been used on an American citizen. That's misinformation, even though it was used to target President Trump and his administration as well with the fake Russian collusion hoax. Right. So although you could disagree with President Trump, the reality of it is this guy is toxic. He's horrible. But This is when it gets like bad-ish crazy. When you sit here and you're comparing both these candidates and you see President Trump go out there and say that whoever he endorses, the other person's going to drop out. Then you see the Save America Act being withheld from a vote in the Senate. For me, it's like, okay, it's clear as day what the Senate's trying to do, because these rhinos spent over $7 million on John Cornyn's campaign just to get him through the primary. Obviously, that didn't work. A little rough, little under 60% of Texans voted against John Cornyn by supporting the two other candidates. So when we're sitting here looking at this, I can't understand why President Trump would even kind of entertain the idea of endorsing Cornyn. I think that he's excited to endorse Ken Paxton, but it doesn't look that way.
Well, you know, any other politician that's been in politics for 10 years, we would call a swamp creature, we would call the deep state.
Yeah.
And Trump's been in politics for 10 years, and he's run for president so many times, he's donated to both parties so many times. Trump is the deep state. You know, there shouldn't be helping Save America, I guess in this case, literally the Save America Act, doing the right thing shouldn't be conditional. Like, you know, if I only would show up to testify against a pedophile if the state pays me $1,000 to show up to court, everybody would know what my motivations are, and it's not pure motivation. So John Cornyn and the Senate withholding voter ID, just basic stuff like that, it's to show you what their motivation is, because if they need conditions to do the right thing, if they need conditions to help this country out, if they need conditions to move this place in the right direction, then all of them should be voted out. All of them should be taken out of office, because none of it's sincere what they're saying. And it sucks that hundreds of thousands of people are going to still think otherwise.
What's your takeaway of Ken Paxton? Because Ken Paxton, in my belief, has done the best job out of all the AGs across the country.
Yeah, no, I think he's done a tremendous job. I think he actually cares. And, you know, even though not every single thing gets done that somebody tries to do, I think he is sincere about wanting to get the right thing done. And I think putting in an honest effort is something that not many people in office do. And I think he is one of those people that does.
Yeah, and here's my point where, like, to me, it's a little crazy, because I don't understand how the guy who put everything on the line to defend their 2020 elections, to help President Trump, because he knew that the mail-in ballots that were being pushed by Democrats for the fake COVID pandemic, that was a man-made virus that was pushed out there. He did his very best to push back on that, to file lawsuits, to go after the states that illegally went out and mass shipped out these mail-in ballots, sued a bunch of states. They retaliated against him, went after him, tried getting him impeached, tried getting him disbarred. They've done everything to this man. And so for me, sitting here watching, I'm like, how can he hasn't done it yet? So I can't say he's not loyal. But it looks like to me, based on his response to even Ken Paxton saying, I'm not going to drop out, even if the president says I'm going to endorse Cornyn. How does someone just completely dismiss Ken Paxton's loyalty to the movement that they claim was started? And again, I know it's disputed now. A lot of people don't believe MAGA's even real at this point. How do we sit there and say, okay, well, MAGA's real, and we abandon the guy who's been out there trying to fight for this guy?
Well, I mean, Trump has a history of endorsing just swamp creatures. I mean, he endorses Lindsey Graham. He endorses has not endorsed Ken Paxton. I mean, I think him not endorsing Ken Paxton is endorsing John Cornyn, because if he wanted to endorse the right person, he would just do it. I mean, I think Trump's action is his inaction on this. And it really sucks, because it just goes to show you that there's really no winning with Trump if you are sincere about wanting to get this thing changed. Like, it feels like if Trump doesn't endorse the person, then I should support them at this point, because he just has a horrible track record.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. It's pretty, pretty bad. Also in Texas too, you know, Tony Gonzalez just recently said he's not going to run for re-election. But like, this is the problem with a lot of this. He was initially said no, he didn't have an affair with the staffer. Then he had to correct himself, because it's very obvious that these text messages which came out from her husband, the staffer who sadly took her own life over a lot of this, the text messages were real. He wouldn't confirm or deny whether they were real. He just said, oh, this is political. And now Tony's stepping away from all of this. I mean, we have this problem, Alex, with like scumbag politicians keeping their positions. Even President Trump endorsed him, even though these accusations were out there backing him. He hasn't really talked much on this front. But what's your takeaway from all of this?
Well, Tony Gonzalez had the most fire campaign of all time, and he still got second place. That's the way I look at it. But I'm glad he's gone, because, you know, all these politicians, you know, cheat and stuff. And I think it's definitely a mark against them. Like, you know, I mean, Ken Paxton, same thing. I still think Ken Paxton cheating on his wife, I still factor that into still supporting him over John Cornyn, just because John Cornyn is so terrible. But I certainly think it carries weight, because if these people cheat on their own spouse, and they don't even care about the sanctity of marriage. They don't even care about their covenant with God. Like, I'm not even that religious, but I know it's a covenant with God. Then how do they care about us numbers on paper to them? They're just not going to care as much. And I think Tony Gonzalez is just that. I mean, he's not hard on the border. He's not hard. He just wanted a total gun ban after Uvalde. And I'm glad he's out for many reasons.
Yeah, many reasons. I mean, the content is endless. I'm randomly just finding all these videos and clips and posting them online. I'm just like, there's just so many things here to hit Cornyn on, and it's a bit out of control. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Iran, because the president says that it's going to be, you know, we're all going to temporarily be going through an increased cost when it comes to oil and gasoline. Obviously, we're watching as the barrels of oil are skyrocketing. I think this morning, I don't know what it's around now, it was like 110 a barrel. So it's very, very pricey right now. President Trump and members of the White House say that this is going to be temporarily, and it's the cost we must pay to, I guess, liberate Iran. I don't understand it. Short term, they keep saying short term pain, but it's short term oil prices right now is how they're trying to allude to this. I mean, this was their big victory, was the economy, and now, you know, they decided to go after Iran again. We have no reason. They haven't outlined a reason as to why they attacked them. They keep saying the same thing we heard in the Bush years, that there was a threat, that they had to squash the threat. But we haven't seen anything that alludes to just that. What's your takeaway from all this? Because midterms are right around the corner.
Well, I've been meaning to go to California to catch some pedos for the longest time, but I've been getting hit with court dates. But I felt like I woke up in California this morning when I had to fill my tank up for gas, because that shit was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I have not seen gas over $3 a gallon since, like,
been over a year, right?
Yeah, over a year. I don't know. When Biden was in office, it was like the fours, and even in Houston. But I think it's very dumb to do before midterms, which I don't really care about that too much. Like, if he was doing just the right thing, like deporting a bunch of illegals before midterms or just pissing a lot of people off, but still doing the right thing for the country, I'd be like, that's fine. But he's just combusting the whole thing without even really gaining anything. Like, I mean, Iran hasn't taken a single dollar from me. Iran hasn't killed anybody that I know. Iran has never killed a person on American soil. So it's like, what are we doing here?
That's a problem. So, like, I understand the Islamic terror threats. Obviously, the Biden regime years, we've imported a bunch of people that we don't know where they came from. And so I've always understood that. And I keep asking, like, what was the sense of urgency to do this now? Because DHS is dealing with a partial shutdown. I just got an email, too. I think their TSA employees aren't getting paid. This is the third time in the last six months that this has happened for them. I'm no fan of TSA, of course. Right. I've sued them and won successful. Actually, I won, Alex, because they didn't do my FOIA request.
Oh, yeah.
But they still haven't paid that check because they're now blaming it on the partial shutdown that they can't pay my attorney. You know, it's one of the many layers of it. But, you know, to do this all with the partial shutdown just sounds wild.
Well, I mean, when Trump shut down when the government was shut down, like what, last year was or sometime like that.
Did you notice?
No, I didn't notice anything. And just a couple, like just literally a few days into it, Trump instantly folds on food stamps. He folds on hiring these government employees back. Like, screw them. Do the right thing, man. I mean, like, I don't want any of these tax dollars going to food stamps. I don't want any tax dollars going to these midwit government employees. But I mean, it just seems with that, he could just bend the knee so easily. But when his own base supposedly is telling him, we don't want a war in Iran, we don't want you doing this, it's just, he's hardline on it. It's just so backwards.
Yeah, I don't understand the motives behind it. Well, I mean, I kind of do. There's a report. I'm going to read through it later. The Wall Street Journal just dropped the report, and I look forward to reading that in a little bit, because there's a lot of questionable scenarios with all of this. You know, the profit margin for war is through the roof, and I think a lot of people become very greedy with all of this. But, you know, I've spoken to people who are running certain divisions and departments over in D.C., and, you know, they say that they'd much rather a more radical approach, but they are the White House is unwilling for them to take a radical approach when it comes to things like mass deportations and pushing back on a lot of these things, because the White House itself wants there to be a lot of economic wins. And so anything that might, like, here's another great story. Savannah Hernandez is doing a lot of great work going out there and exposing a lot of the trucking scams, the H-1B visa scams, the illegals who are using these cars, these vehicles, and they shouldn't be. Although we'll sit there and watch as Sean Duffy, who runs the Transportation Department, go out there and say that they're putting an end to this, they're trying to stop this. We still grant the H-1B visas, and we haven't stopped those because right now this administration's afraid of, well, if we start yanking back the H-1B visas, we actually might see a complete collapse in the trucking industry. And so due to the economy that they're trying to obviously get more wins on. They're unwilling to pull the H-1B visas on that one. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, humans adjust and societies adjust to anything. So even if it's hard for a year, if they pull the H-1B visas, people are going to fill that. People are going to fill that gap because people need to eat. People need their stuff. So I think the trucking industry will have an upturn if we get the H-1B visas out. It's not like, I mean, it literally is just ripping off a Band-Aid. Like having the Band-Aid on isn't really fixing anything, or it's not really helping too much. You just got to eventually just take it off, and they're just scared to do that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Truckers were telling a friend of mine, they're like, we used to make 40 cents a mile, but now we're making 19 because of all the illegals that they've imported, and these foreigners have brought down the cost for us, unfortunately. I mean, I don't see a reason why we have to continue doing this. We should be out there. We should be pushing for these people to be able to make a living wage. But most importantly, we should be pushing for America, Americans to get these jobs and hold these jobs.
Well, it's just so weird to me because, you know, they act like if we don't have Indians driving the wrong way on the freeway, we're all going to starve and literally die, which I think we're literally going to die if they're driving the wrong way on the freeway. But that's just, I guess, me. But before 1965, before all these the brown horde came in. Were people starving? Was nobody picking strawberries? Was nobody delivering trucks across the interstate? Of course, or delivering goods across the interstate? Of course, people were doing that. It's like before all the Indians came, before all the Mexicans came, we just suddenly weren't a country apparently. And it's like these third worlders suddenly made our country first world to them. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. I'm always like, wait, hold on a second. Like, you want me to sit here and pretend like importing a third world somehow makes America better? Of course it doesn't. They can't even make their own country better. And it seems to be the argument that they always make. And I'm just like, this doesn't even make any. And they have no emotion. You know, we got 45 seconds here, but they've got no emotion. These truck drivers, after they take this guy here, I'll never get over this one.
Oh,
doesn't
my
even
God.
Blink, doesn't even feel bad. He just killed three people. And yes, they're immigrants as well. I don't think that they have less of a value, though. I mean, no care in the world. Just had to make a quick U-turn right here. Oh, yep. Good luck, guy. Decapitate. There you go. This is why we keep Alex around. Tough Monday for me. Their heads. I mean, what the heck's going on here? These people are sick. I don't want them here.
That's the most 2026 thing of all time. Just an Indian truck driver on H-1B decapitating three Haitian immigrants. I mean, it's just so like, that's just the state of the country right now. Yeah. But they certainly didn't deserve to die. And they both just need to go.
Yeah, they all need to go. Alex Rosen, thank you for joining us in studio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure to keep up with you, my friend. Folks at home, if you want to support all the great work Alex is doing, best place to go, head on over to Twitter. Subscribe. I Fight for Kids. You can also find them at predatorpoachers.com as well. Are there any other platforms that people could support you at?
If you just type in Predator Poachers, P-R-E-D-A-T-O-R space P-O-A-C-H-E-R-S, Predator Poachers on YouTube, Predator Poachers on Facebook. Check us out on both. It really would help us out.
Yeah, and you're doing great work. And again, this is something that law enforcement sadly doesn't do. They miss out on all of this. So folks, help Alex out. I support him on all platforms, and I highly recommend you do the same. All right, that does it for us. On this edition of The American Journal, The Alex Jones Show starts next. In the meantime, though, it is the March mega sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over. 30 to 40% off some of your favorite supplements going on right now. While supplies last, over at thealexjonesstore.com. I'll see you here tomorrow.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet.
up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAltarStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.